Well, last week we talked about welcoming the Holy Spirit. When we welcome the Holy Spirit, then we need to take into consideration why the Holy Spirit came. Talk about that a little bit. But, you know, He came to lead us to all truth. And so then we need to look at truth. And the truth is that, you know, the gifts of the Spirit are listed. And rather than just looking at them and desiring them, there's a camp that battles against them, and then there's a camp that wants to exalt them above all things, Paul just wanted us to the simplicity that is Christ. We look at the gifts of the Spirit, and they're powerful gifts, and they're the teaching gifts, and sometimes they are the apparent gifts, the ones that are able to be seen. But we look at, that we talk about the gifts and the fruits, and I've always thought that the fruits and the gifts were kind of interchangeable in that. And in fact, the Lord says that we've, in chapter 14 of Corinthians, it says, look, if I do all these wonderful things, but I don't have love, then I'm a banging gong and a clanging cymbal. And so, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And so we've got the fruit, the gifts need to be operated in love, and coming to the balance of that, we don't know how to balance that, but God does. The fruit of the Spirit, since we are created in God's image, a lot of people that don't even know Jesus will have fruits of the Spirit. Some people just have a gift of kindness. Some people have a gift of compassion. Some people, have the gift of giving. There's a lot of, those are gifts, really. They really are, because sometimes those fruits accomplish much more than a gift will. Somebody that can love unconditionally will affect a person more than somebody that comes and tries to prophesy to someone. Even though, those that are into the prophetic would say, it speaks to the heart. Well, yes, it does. It does speak to the heart. But as they say, actions oftentimes speak louder than words. There has to be an action that goes along with it. The words that drop, I'm always telling the folks at jail, I said, you come down here, you don't come out of your pod to chapel by accident. You come because the Spirit draws you. When you come because the Spirit draws you, then the Spirit drops things into your heart. And what do we do with those things that the Spirit drops in our heart? How does He speak to them? I read, every day I read my Bible, and I have so many things, and I have so many notes that I put in my Evernote, and I've got so many things in my mind, and then I try to decide, what are you talking about, Lord? What do you want to say? And sometimes the thing that He begins to say is totally out of the range of anything that I've been considering all week. But by the time I spend a little time, I realize that all those things go together. And this is what God does in our lives. Everything works together in our lives. And he is able. And so sometimes things come into our lives where the only thing that will overcome those things and keep us rolling is the trust that God is able. And then the faith and the hope that goes with that. And understanding that our relationship with God, everything that God pours into us, is for a common good. It's for good of people that we know and the good of people that we don't know. the good of people that we will know and the people, the good of people that we have known, because, you know, the Bible tells us to be being filled with the Spirit. And if we get full enough, then that's what will overflow. Yeah, we all have things in our life where we overflow. The question is, what do we overflow with? You know, you can be filled up, you can't be overfilled. Because when you're overfilled, then you're overflowing, and overflowing is good when it comes to the Spirit of God. I listened to a guy this week, and he was talking about, you know, the fact of power. The Holy Spirit brings power, and we need to have the power. And he was sharing how that he woke up in the morning and his cell phone had run out of power. And he said, I could yell at it, I could hit it, I could push all the buttons, I could do anything I wanted, but it was out of power. And the only thing that was going to make it work again was connecting it to the power. And sometimes we have to be cautious that we don't run out of power. And how do we keep in power? We stay connected. Now, our cell phones, we don't have to stay connected all the time, but they do run low on power. And because they do run out low on power, then somebody invented the external battery so that you see people walking around, especially at school, you know. I mean, they don't make batteries big enough for those kids, you know. So half the time they're tethered to a wire that's tethered to a little box that's tethered to their pocket, and they got their phone, but basically they're plugged in. They got to have that thing with them. And so then sometimes you'll see kids that'll come wandering back through the room and they'll say, did I leave my charger here? You know, they won't come looking for their books. Their books can stay there for a week, you know. But if they're missing their charger, they'll go to every room that they've been in looking for their charger. And if you ask them if they'd like to take their book with them too, no, I just came for my charger. They have an understanding of their need for power. And I think that that's something that we as Christians need to come to a deeper understanding of, is our need for power. See, we believe God, and we believe that God has power, and we believe that God can do anything, and that God can do all things, and sometimes we think that He's just going to take care of everything, and we don't need to stay connected. But then something comes up, and we discover that we're out of power. And we don't realize that we're out of power. We just discover that we're powerless. You understand? We react wrongly. We think wrongly. We give up wrongly. We do all of these things. And it's because we haven't stayed connected to the power. But sometimes it takes us a while to settle enough to realize, I just need to stay with the power. Now, the more that we are with God, the more that we are aware of God, the more that we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, then the quicker that we recognize, wait a minute, I got a little power problem here. My mom's house, I have a little power problem. I figured out one power problem was just a switch. Two of them, in fact, were switches. You know, switches aren't supposed to wear out. But they do, after enough years. And plug-ins, I had a problem at the next door at the rental. I had a plug-in that had a problem, and so I decided that it must be the plug-in, and so I changed the plug-in, and it wasn't the plug-in. So then I had to go back, and I discovered a fuse was bad that hadn't been bad before. And I don't know what that was all about, but I fixed that fuse, and then I didn't have to change another plug-in. After I'd already changed another plug-in, of course. And so I've still got that plug-in that I changed in my bag, thinking that I'll be able to use that plug-in. And sometime I'll just put it in somewhere, and I hope I don't find out that that plug-in is bad. We find that things malfunction that we don't understand malfunctioning. I mean, at my mom's house, now there's she's got two switches in her bedroom, three-way switches, and so one side should turn it off and the other side turn it on, but it seems like right now I've got to have one switch in the right place for the other one to work, and I don't know which switch is bad. So it would make sense to just change both of those switches. But if I can get one to work, I'm leaving it be. I will eventually get, you know, we do that spiritually sometimes. Everything isn't working the way it should, but if it works a little bit, we just leave it be. And that's not the way it should be. Because this isn't about us, just about us. This is about Him in us and what Him in us can accomplish. We don't become Christians just for our own benefit. In fact, as we grow up in the Lord, we realize that the benefit is for other people. And, you know, I don't want to be a wonderful person. I was a wonderful person sometimes in my own eyes before I met Jesus. And that then brings in the scripture that says, you know, what pleasure had you then and the things that you're now ashamed of. A lot of people think that I'll be a good person. But we can be the best person in the world, but if we don't offer Jesus, if we don't have Jesus for people, then all we are is a good person that doesn't do any good. But if with the Holy Spirit working in our lives, then the gifts of the Spirit are free to work to us and through us, then those gifts are given severally by the Holy Spirit for the common good. It's for the good of the kingdom. And then when we understand that the fruit of the Spirit is love and it's joy and it's peace and it's long-suffering and it's gentleness and it's goodness and it's faithfulness and it's temperance or meekness and self-control. And so just think how those fruits empowered by the Holy Spirit affect people around you. When everything is falling apart and you have peace, where did you get that? You don't want to be a person who just seems to be able to handle anything, because people who just seem to be able to handle anything often have the biggest ulcers, because they handle anything on their own. And if I can just handle it on my own, then who gets the glory? I get the glory. But we don't come to God to get glory. We come to God to give glory to God. Jesus remained in constant union with His Father. And because He remained in constant union with His Father, He always did what was right. Oh, I'd like to get there. But you know, the more we are aware of a desire to get there, the more we'll discover we're getting there. The fruit of the Spirit, have you ever noticed that the fruit of the Spirit is sort of like selectively displayed? It's easier to display the fruit of the Spirit with some people than it is with others. You know? Sometimes we'll have the fruit of the Spirit for a total stranger better than we'll have it for the person next to us. The person most important to us, the person closest to us. Sometimes that's just the way that it is. That's not the way that it should be. And when we're aware of these things, when we see these things, we have to ask ourselves, how is it that I have more patience for somebody that I don't know and I've never even met before, and yet at the same time, I'm not displaying it here? This morning, I was in a rush, and I, You know? I mean, I got these things going through my head, and I'm rushing to mother's to get mother up and going and her pills and stuff like that. And so I'm looking, and the first thing I get there, and I see that I probably made the mistake last night. She enjoyed the ice cream that I gave her along with her meal. She didn't eat a lot of her meal. I didn't measure how much she ate. She didn't eat a lot of her meal. But instead, she had actually gone into a refrigerator and gotten a sandwich. And so she ate part of the sandwich. So I knew that she ate enough. And then she stuck her empty glass back in the refrigerator. And I asked her not to put her empty glass back in the refrigerator because I drop it while I'm trying to get it out, you know. And so now I'm thinking about this, that I need to display the fruit right here and right now. Don't get shy. Short and don't get, you know, impatient. There's no reason to be impatient with her. There is no reason whatsoever. She does not know, so it does not, you know. And yet there I am going in knowing these things, perhaps thinking of these things on the way there and still having to fight the good fight. Now, I'm thankful that I fight the good fight. But I don't know why it's even a fight. Some days it's not. Some days I got it together. You ever have those days when you got it together? When the peace of God that passes understanding just kind of everything's copacetic? You know? It's all good. I went over to Pier early yesterday morning to do the worship and stuff for a couple of hours at the Pray America, at the Tent America, only they had it. It was really in a nice place in the Ramcota rather than out in the tent. It was warm. Everything was good. Everything was wonderful. Except to begin with, the person on the sound system wasn't so wonderful, so I was trying to figure out where to get the sound to be right. And I'm thinking, here I am to lead worship, and I'm not having great thoughts about that person running the sound. I'm not going to do that. I can do this. If I have to lean back on the piece to get away from the microphone so it isn't humming at me, I can do that. I know how that works. Fought the good fight of faith, and everything falls into place. I mean, what sense would it be to be there with a bad attitude when you're supposed to be praying? Do you ever pray with a bad attitude? Oh, we do. We do. We do. Sometimes we pray in desperation, and sometimes we pray in exasperation. Oh, God, help them. Nobody else can. You're going to have to help them. Well, it's good that we care enough. You see, we have the gifts and we have the fruits. But most importantly, we have Christ. And he said, abide in me. And he prayed to his Father and he said that they would abide in me and I would abide in them and that we would be one. And he said to them, I won't leave you orphans. You can't do this on your own. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, another comforter. Because you see, they could understand comfort because he was their comfort. And now he has sent us another comforter. And so it's wise that we keep our eyes and our ears open and our hearts of our understanding open to the comforter, and that we rely on the comforter. That we rely on him, you know, and he wants us more often than just once in a while. I sometimes have this thought about that some of my kids I only hear from when they need something. You know? Dad, we need to move now. And so then Dad's got a trailer, and then so Dad's a move. So we have Dad come to move, and when we need Dad to do something, then we got Dad. Man, Dad is important, and we hear from Dad all the time, and everything is really, really good, and then everything's done, and then I don't hear from him anymore. We see sometimes that's the way we operate spiritually. Sometimes that's how we treat God.
Sometimes we're in real close communication when we really need him for something. But he doesn't hear from us unless we need something. He doesn't hear from us unless we're desperate. And that thing we need to understand is we're always desperate. Jesus said, you can't do anything without me. So we're always desperate in some sense. And that's a good way to be. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Be near me, precious Savior. I come to thee. See, that makes us good for the common good, that we abide in Christ. And abiding in Christ isn't walking around like somebody that's in the clouds. Abiding in Christ is our everyday life all day long. All day long. And we can lie down in peace and sleep because we keep our hearts and our minds on Christ, and we've had a great day. We're in the world. We're not of the world. But boy, it was a good day. Because we kept in communication, we kept in relationship with the Lord. And this is what Jesus came to show us. You can handle anything. I mean, he went through some things. He went through a lot of things. How do you handle the things that you go through? They push him over to the edge of a cliff. They're going to push him off, and he just walks on back through them. What kind of authority is that? Did he all of a sudden become, you know, invisible? No, he just, I don't know. Just the peace of God that passed understanding. And in the midst of people, he could display the fruit. And in the midst of people trying to deceive him and trying to catch him and trying to mess with him and all of that kind of stuff, you know, he always had the right answers. And he always did everything right. And he said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. He didn't get up in the morning and plan out his day. He got up in the morning and spent time with his Lord. Rejoicing in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know, there's just little wonderful, perfect things that God has for us, just little words that he drops in our heart, the significant scriptures. There's a list of scriptures, if you think about it, that you've got in your heart. And almost every single person has the same ones in their heart, because they're the ones that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Almost every person that has spent any time in the Word of God, that's a scripture they got in their hearts. And he is able to do abundantly above and beyond all that I can hope or imagine. This morning I was reading the 23rd Psalm, you know, and the 23rd Psalm was a wonderful, wonderful psalm. But as I was reading it this morning, I could see that it's a progressive sort of a thing. Coming to the absolute, total, and complete conclusion and confidence, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He leads me beside still waters. He's the one that makes me lie down in green pastures. He's the one that has given me, brought me to these places. It's him. See, we get that confidence. But until we have confidence in those layers, you know, it's just words. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He's going to lead me in paths of righteousness. It doesn't say he's going to lead me in paths of righteousness and drop me like a bad habit when I'm not walking on them. And so I can have that confidence, and his rod and his staff, they comfort me when I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. There's troubles, but God's still here. We're going through that, and we go on down through the Lord's, the 23rd Psalm, we come to the end that says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's like if we will take that and take it into heart, by the end of the time that we get to, we'll go, oh, yeah. Goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. See, and that's how the Word of God works in our lives. And when we understand the importance of the Word of God in our lives, and then we go back to the basic foundation of the gospel, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, that Christ Jesus provided the forgiveness of all sins, that I can trust him for that. And so then that answers that question. Well, what if I'm not perfect? If you're not perfect, confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins. And so I can be cleansed from all my unrighteousness. And we got those things going for us. And then we begin to have confidence because the Holy Spirit is giving us confidence. And we begin to see that the Lord is watching for successes. If we can come to understand that's what he's watching is successes. You know, you watch, now we're in the playoffs of baseball, you know, so we're in the place where I start to watch and start to pay attention and care about, and you listen to them all the time, and you got somebody that's struck out 27 times, and they talk about how many times he struck out, and that's all they got their mind on, and then let that guy hit the home run that wins the game. And then they're talking about, well, we just knew it was just a matter of time until he broke out. Boy, what a time to break out. And it doesn't matter how many times they strike out. That's why they're there, is because they'll get this one thing done, you know? You just got to love those commentators, because they love to rub salt in the wound, and then they like to act like they never had any doubt whatsoever. Well, you know, God looks at you. He never rubs any salt in the wound, and he never has any doubt whatsoever. Because even if we fail at 99 things, he'll still be saying, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And when you have that victory, he's the first one there to congratulate you, and he never mentions the failures. And that's why I love that song, I Believe What You Say of Me. I believe what you say of me. Don't you believe what he says of you? That's what we need to believe, is what he says of us. Don't believe even what you think of you over what he says of you. What he says of you. When he saved me, my history became entirely changed. Old things pass away, all things become new. When I fail, that isn't written down. What's written down is, you can make it. What's afforded is the opportunity, the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, who has come to guide me into all truth. So apparently I don't know all the truth. We don't know all the truth. But he's there to lead us into all truth. And every day affords opportunities to learn the truth, because there's a truth in every circumstance that we become a part of. And the truths that we need are the ones that strengthen us the most. This week, a young man at the jail said, I want you to listen to this song, and then maybe you can answer some of these questions. And he said, it's a rap song. I said, not a rap song. I can't even catch what they're saying. Oh, you will. You'll be able to. So I Googled it, and it was a song. It's a guy. He's a Christian rapper, and he's rapping about the things that people wonder about, you know. If you can do everything, how come this goes on and that goes on? And how come my cousin couldn't do this? And how come my aunt couldn't do this? And how come this happened? And how all those questions that people ask all the time. If you're watching over us and you care about us, how come a house burns? When God has all the rain, how come? We don't know all the answers. We just know the one who does know the answers. And once we know the one who does know the answers, then we know how to turn to the one who has the answers, because the other things will tear us apart. Right? And the Holy Spirit came to see us through this world. Jesus came to show us how to live full of the Holy Spirit. And he sent the Holy Spirit to help us all do that same thing. And the more that he abides in us, the more that we abide in him, then the more of him this world gets to see. We have, you know. Darkness is just getting so clear. And gray is on the verge of disappearing. And we who see the light, we look and we say, how can they possibly not see how dark it is? But I was once in darkness. We were all once in some form of darkness. And we couldn't see until we got in the light. And then we looked back and we said, whoa, I was in the dark. And the Lord wants everybody to come into the light. The Lord wants everybody to experience the light and the life that is in Christ Jesus. And so since it's been given to us to believe, and it's given to us to understand, then it stands to reason that we should get all the understanding we can. Because we are works in progress. But we will progress in the direction that we want to progress in. The Lord gave us all the Holy Spirit, empowered us, but gave us free will about what we did with that power. You can give somebody a cell phone, but if they don't charge it, it's not going to work. And somebody that has a cell phone that doesn't know that you have to recharge it will not know what to do with it when it goes dead. They aren't just throwaways, and yet there are throwaways. But you aren't a throwaway. And there's not one throwaway created in the image of God. We have the privilege of the presence of God in our lives for the common good. We have within us life-changing gifts and fruits. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You know, we could wish to be a billionaire so that we could support everything financially that we desire to support. But if we were, would we? But it's not so much about wishing we could do what we can't do right now. It's doing what we can do with what we have for the common good. The blessing of the Lord be upon you. That was the greeting of the Jews to each other. The blessing of the Lord be upon you. And if somebody did them wrong, they'd withhold the blessing of the Lord be upon you. But Jesus came so nothing would be withheld from you ever. You're greater than you know. And there's more people depending upon the greatness of God in you than you know, than we all know. But to be aware, it's all we got to do is be aware. And considering every possibility, maybe this is a time or that is a time. Sharing the overflow that is in us. We don't have to decide where it will work. We just have to work it. When Vicki waters the garden, she waters part of the yard too. I don't like that so much because it makes the grass grow. But when you water a garden, you don't spot water. You don't just water each little thing that's coming up. And if one isn't coming up right, you don't withhold water from it because it's not doing what it's supposed to do. You water the whole thing. Water the world, folks. Water the world. And see what comes up. Amen? Lord, we're grateful to you that you give us everything that we need so that we don't need to wonder if we have what we need. We ask you, Lord, to increase our hunger and our desire. Increase us, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that where we spill will produce 30, 60, and 100-fold in Jesus' name. Amen.